All right, a good morning from me as well, as you are making your way, hint, hint, Peggy, back to your seats. Just a few announcements. We got a few different things happening today, so I'd like to move along through announcements as quick. Well, you've got a bulletin. If you didn't get a bulletin, grab one on your way out the door. Everybody at home, tough. No, just kidding. A couple of things for you to know. One of the things that I'd like to announce, actually, let's start with this. It's a prayer request. Many of you know Jeff and Rhonda Hedges. They've been part of the church for several years. You'd recognize them if you saw them, kind of thing. They all got hit with COVID. Jeff's okay. Eli's okay. Rhonda wasn't doing great. And they took her to the hospital. She's in the hospital for a day or two before they needed to make the decision to put her on a ventilator. So medically induced coma, she's on a ventilator. So, I mean, obviously Jeff's going through it, can't even see his wife. You know, they've been married for like 40 years. So let's just pause for a second here and pray for the Hedges, especially Rhonda. Lord, we do have this great boldness to approach you, and so that's what we do. We approach you. And because of who you are and because of the salvation we have, because of the reality of heaven, the hope we have of the firm and fixed eternal reality of what awaits, therefore we can not just approach you boldly, but joyfully, even in something as terrible as this. You are still God. You are still good. And what you do is good. Our hope is in heaven. We've been talking about that from your word in Colossians. That's our hope. In the meantime, here we are. And so we're going to ask boldly, joyfully, that you would bring healing to Rhonda. You'd get her out of this thing quickly. There'd be no real permanent long-term damage to her. Be with Jeff and their kids right now during this difficult time. It's heart-wrenching for Jeff, as it should be. Bring comfort to them. And again, because of who you are and because of what we have is in terms of promises from your word, we can ask for blessing upon them too. So it's not just like survival. It's not comfort, as great as that is, but your comfort actually brings blessing. It's not just that we manage. It's, as Pastor Johnny was sharing with us last week, it's not just that we cope. We're yours, and therefore we are in very good hands. So we just lift them to you, Father. You're well aware of the situation. Minister to Rhonda right now, even as where she is in terms of just in this coma. Spiritually, I'm sure she's tuned in to you. So bless her. Speak to your child. Minister to the family, please, in Jesus' name. Amen. And pray for those guys. You know, I asked Jeff if we could bring meals or whatever, and their other daughters coming or just came in from Alaska. So that it sounds like they're okay, but pray for them if you'd please. Other than this Wednesday, we've got another great guest speaker, Pastor Kurt Ibbotson from Calvary Chapel Leipzig, Germany, will be with us. So speaking of missions and guest speakers, you know, we've had people share with us this summer from, in no particular order, Italy, Ethiopia, Ukraine. We'll have the Philippines covered today. We'll actually have the Ukraine revisited in a couple of weeks, and then Germany this Wednesday. Like, man, we're spoiled. I didn't even plan it this way. It just kind of worked out this way. So we also have a great luxury with us in that we have kind of a sneak in another little guest speaker, you know, or a couple minutes, a little bit of time to throw in another guest speaker. I wish we could give him all morning. I wish we had another few Sundays to do this, but Pastor Michael Loudermilk ministers in South Korea, and so you have family in the area. You have family in the area, so it's like, sir, would you be able to share with our church what you're doing in South Korea? Would you be able to just, I'd love to give you the whole thing, but can you take a couple minutes and share with us what's going on in South Korea of all places? So let's give a big Calvary Chapel in the Ozarks welcome to Pastor Michael Loudermilk, and he's going to share with us, and then we'll turn it over to the Castagnas in a minute.
Thank you, sir. Thank you. And he did only give me 5 minutes, so let me get my time going here. So actually, quickly, open your Bible with me to Mark chapter 1. I want to piggyback a little off of something that Pastor Markey spoke on last week. I think he just kind of passed by this, and it caught my eye during the service. I've actually been coming to the church for, this is my third week now, because my parents do live right down the street with my sister. But I'm from Southern California. Grew up 10 minutes away from where your pastor grew up, basically. I'm from Costa Mesa. He's from Fountain Valley. Probably went to rival high schools or rival marching bands. So, yeah. But, yeah, I've been in South Korea for 15 years. My wife is Korean. We have one daughter who's 15. We moved there when my wife became pregnant, decided that was the time to live there. And we planted a Calvary Chapel there. And I'm actually sent out from Calvary Chapel, Costa Mesa, as well. But I've enjoyed being here at the church. I wrote my missionary letter a couple days ago and talked about the church. And he's not here, so I'm going to talk about him. You're one of your worship leaders, Don. He's been great. He's the one I've talked to the most here, but he's just been so friendly and nice. It's been really good. But South Korea, what should I tell you? Most people, when you mention South Korea, are just going to think about North Korea, and they're going to say, isn't it dangerous? Aren't you worried? I'm about as worried as we were growing up, thinking that the Russians were going to nuke us anytime. So, and, you know, they taught us in school how to deal with that. They said, you just duck under the desk, and you're going to be fine when the bomb goes off. So we've got that covered. No problem at all. I did plant a international church there. There are lots of churches in South Korea. You've got basically half of your population is Christian, half of it is Buddhist, with a bunch of other things mixed in between. I know that makes it more than 50-50, but you know what I mean. They have a lot of homegrown cults, as well as the nice imported American cults as well. So there's a lot to deal with there. But our focus in South Korea has been to minister to college students. So I planted the church right between two universities. COVID, of course, messes everything up with that, as people haven't been in school, and a lot of the foreigners had to go back to their home countries. But the Lord will deal with that little by little. A lot of my focus in South Korea is towards the Korean churched people, because you have a lot of people, just like America, that grew up in church and don't know their Bible at all. So I like to focus on those, and just, we're kind of a seed planting church. There's a lot of rotation, just because people want to come, practice their English for a while, if they're going off to another country, that kind of thing. So people come in and out a lot. So we've seen a lot of people, but we're a very small church overall. Interesting, you've got missionaries from the Philippines here, because one of my favorite things that we do with our church is every 2 years we go to a very small island in the Philippines, and we were blessed and lucky to go right before COVID was hitting. Actually, it's right when it hit. So my worship leader's from the Philippines. Her mom came with us back to Korea and got stuck there for almost 6 months, couldn't get back because of all the COVID stuff. But it's a very small island right off of Masbate called Hintotolo. And we go there twice or every 2 years, and we get about 700 children that'll come out for a little VBS things, and we visit the different schools that are there. But that's about the majority of the children on the island. So that's always very, very cool. Otherwise, you know, our church, we've ministered with orphanages. Can't do that with COVID. We minister at a home for people with handicaps. Can't do that with COVID. So the focus these days has really been on the church. And they had church yesterday, but we're only allowed to have 10 people in our room at this point. So, which kind of works for us. So we're all right with that. But anyways, that's a little disappointing. But I want to hit, I got 1 minute left. I want to hit this Mark chapter 1 verse. Because again, Pastor Markey was in Mark chapter 1 last week, and this verse hit me. Now, I've got to warn you, if you have an NIV, you're going to stumble a little bit. I'm reading from the New King James, but look down at verse 41, because this just caught my eye. I don't think he read it or anything, but it caught my eye as we were going through. And what I noticed is that verse 41 says, "Then Jesus moved with compassion." And that's where I stopped right there. And it just caught my attention and reminded me that we serve a God who is moved with compassion towards us, towards others. Jesus put it on display for us. We've got the Holy Spirit living inside of us, who is compassionate towards us, wants to help us. If you read the context going there or anywhere else, it talks about Jesus being moved with compassion. It usually involves a person coming to him and asking for help. One problem we've run into with COVID, people getting stuck at home, not able to work for a while, it provided actually a great opportunity to study the Bible, read some books. But what I found is most people turn to YouTube and streaming services, and they don't come to Jesus to get the compassion that he's willing to offer and the help. And you notice, everyone who comes to Jesus, he ministers to in one way or another, even if it's a rebuke, if necessary, but he will minister through healing. Again, praying for the couple is wonderful. Or just even teaching, but just to help. But we serve a compassionate God. And again, that just caught my attention, wanted to share it with you. I'm a minute over, so we'll pass it off to the people that matter. But I will be in the church for one more week, and your pastor asked if I had prayer cards or anything. I had to email Calvary Costa Mesa and ask them if they send me some. So if they send some, I'll put them out next week for people if you want to learn about South Korea.
Thank
okay.
See, this is dangerous business when we got three Bible teachers on one Sunday morning, because now I need to, that got me so excited about Jesus being moved with compassion, and I need to not talk about that because we're the church and we need to be compassionate. Okay, I did well. That's talk to Pastor Michael. That's really great stuff. So for the Castañas, I moved here 7.5 years ago. Christy and I and the kids moved here 7.5 years ago, and I inherited a wonderful leadership team, wonderful serving team here at the church, and some wonderful missionaries whom the church had been supporting for, here's the missionaries we support. Great. And then I got to meet some of them. And, you know, what came to mind for me really just even a few minutes ago from Romans chapter 1, verse 12, Paul writing to these folks in Rome, he says, that I may be encouraged together with you by the mutual faith both of you and me. Paul knew that he knew by bringing the gospel to them, there would be blessing to them because not because of Paul, but because of the gospel. But he knew by being with them, he would be blessed. And I have to tell you that as wonderful as it is that the church has been able to support the Castañas for all these years, I've been so blessed by these guys personally. I don't want to get all sappy up here and everything, but I really, some of my very favorite people in the whole world. So don't tell them I said that. Plug your ears, you guys. But at any rate, so I've asked them if they'd share with us a little bit. So Peggy, are you going to tell us a little bit about what you're doing right now and then just turn it over to your husband? Sounds great. Yes, ma'am. Mrs. Peggy Castañeda, everybody.
Thank you. Well, that was awful sweet. I'm glad we don't have to wear masks because I smile all the time, and it really bugs me how people can't see me smiling. So I wrote on a mask some big smiling lips, you know. Oh, people got a kick out of it. We've been missionaries 41 years, and 27 of them were in the Philippines. And we actually met Pastor Paul and you all back in 95 on our second furlough. And I want to move this forward. I'm kind of half off. Okay, there we go. So it's been 26 years, and we're such a privilege to have you guys behind us all those years. We love having community group with you guys and different ones. And, Marcella, Mike, we used to go over their house, and nice surprise to see her here. But it was such a privilege, really, to be missionaries in the Philippines, we always say it's the best place to be missionaries. They'll give you the shirt off their backs. They're so kind and friendly. And oftentimes people ask, what was the thing you missed the most? And without a doubt, it's family and friends. And I'll tell you, it was really hard to be away from our boys when they came back to the States without us and had to get adjusted to the world and all the temptations that it has to offer. And we were, you know, half a world away. But you know, the Lord is not without options. When they were in a particularly hard time going to JBU, the Lord took somebody from my church in San Diego, brought them out here to JBU to minister to their hearts. This guy, Aaron Passmore, was this big, you know, rugby star, and he had just graduated and he was working there. And his parents were in my youth group together in San Diego. And he was such a big help to him. We ran across when we were out to eat with our son, another guy that the Lord used that was in a youth group in another church here. Also, too, people ask, what was the most exciting thing? You know, without question, it was when I was driving and a girl gave birth in my car. And I'm telling you, we had had this 8.0 earthquake. Our road was closed, dirt road, for a year. It had just opened up. Tim was gone getting rice for the people. And I'd been visiting this gal in the clinic, you know, another clinic. And she was going to have a dry birth the next morning, you know, or 12:30 in the afternoon. They said, can you drive her? I said, sure, you know. So the other few vehicles were gone. They took out the back seat, you know, and they put in a mattress, and the IV was hanging from the coat rack, and I tried to go really slow, and I knew she was having contractions, and then they say, go, you know. Dirt road. Oh, and fresh landslides coming down all the time. I saw them coming down, but then none of them hit the car. So anyway, quite the ordeal, I can tell you. You have a stop for coffee, and I can tell you about that. But you know, even throughout all the hard things, the difficult things, well, it all melted away when we started seeing our friends come to know the Lord and start understanding what God had did for them. And one of them said, it's like doors were shut before my eyes and then suddenly I could see through. And another one said, if you had not come, then we wouldn't have known this, you know. And we still, we're friends with a lot of people on Facebook, you know, that we are dear friends of ours we never get to see anymore. But they'll say precious stuff like that, you know. Does our hearts good. And with missing, I was going to say one of the things we miss really bad is our seeing our grandkids. We have 7, and we're in Florida right now, but, you know, they all live far away, Minnesota and up here in Siloam. And we miss seeing and hearing all the cute things that they'd say. Well, then I reminded myself, well, we did that to our parents, and we took, you know, our kids away when they were 3.5 and 5 to live, you know, in the Philippines, and they missed all those cute things. But we thank the Lord for every minute. Yeah, I lost my train of thought. What I was going to say about that. Let's see here. Oh, that's it. My mom, then, she came to visit the end of our first year. And we had just finished studying Tagalog, you know. We're learning culture and everything. And I'm telling her all the neat cultural stuff I'm learning. She's writing and taking notes, you know. Like, for instance, all the different ways you can get the public transportation driver to stop and let you off. Like one of them is you can take a coin and bing, bing, bing on the metal handrail, or you can boom, boom, you know, hit the roof, the ceiling of the vehicle. You could say, para, you know, and that tells the guy to stop. Or you could go, you know, make this kissy noise. my poor mom, we had her sleep on a super hard mattress that we had borrowed. Here she was 65, and I can really appreciate what all we put her through now that I'm 65. And, we didn't have hot water, so the cold water hit her back, and she goes, oh, just when it hit my back, you know, it was just so bad, you know. She was sweating profusely. She came in April, our hottest month, you know. We got to find a sweatband, you know, and there's not like sports stores everywhere over there back in 85, you know. But she made it, and she loved it. She always said, I want to write a book that says that Grandma Gussie goes to the Philippines. But, yeah, we just love what we're doing. The Lord brought us home to care for his parents. His mom has passed away now 4.5 years ago with Alzheimer's. And for a year and a half, she knew who we were, and a year and a half, she didn't. And now Dad is 95, and I work in the ALF for all of our retired missionaries. And so I love that. I love it dearly. And Dad's doing good. And, these guys... 99, 95, 97, they all did good taking their Pfizer shot, you know, praise the Lord. But Dad keeps saying every day, I don't know why I'm still here. He'd really like to go. Now, recently, I was watching a documentary about Corrie Ten Boom. And, you know, I've been thinking about how... you know, kind of scary, you know, the things that we're going through. And the Lord's reminding me, you just need to look to me, you know. Like Corey said, look to the world, distress. Look to yourself, depressed. Look to the Lord, rest. And so we need to keep a perspective, look at things the way God does. And so I'm just going to end with reading three verses in Psalms 34. Yeah, and I have a New American Standard Bible. It's a little different, too. Psalms 34. I'm going to start with 4. I sought the Lord, and he answered me and delivered me from all my fears. And then verse 6. The poor man cried, and the Lord heard him and saved him out of all his troubles. The angel of the Lord encamps around those who fear him and rescues them. And my little note says, the Lord himself will protect his own. So, amen. I just leave you with that.
Well, it is so good to be here. We want to thank you guys for being with us all these years, encouraging us, many times providing great fellowship and community. When we're in Northwest Arkansas, we spent several times when we've been here for either 6 months or even a year on our home assignments, and just being able to reconnect with you guys every time we came back. And be able to plug in, be part of community groups, be welcomed back. That's a huge blessing to us. We thank you guys for your prayers for us, for supporting us financially, for just allowing us to continue in ministry. My wife and I, as she said, came back to the United States in 2013-ish. How God has plugged us into ministries that we really enjoy at our home office in Florida. My wife had always told me all through her life that she, when she was in youth group at her church in San Diego, they would always go to the older folks' homes. I'm not sure what the politically correct term for all of that is now. Now that I'm one of them, I don't know what to say. So, but she would go to them, and even as, you know, 17-year-old, 16-year-old, and just loved being around older folks and being able to encourage them and usually get them laughing and just talk to them about the Lord. And so I felt like I was going to be in pretty good hands when I got older. But unfortunately, she's not quite as spry as she used to be. So, but she brings a lot of joy to the people over in the homes. These folks have served 50 years over in the Papua New Guinea or in the out in the jungle somewhere, and she hears amazing stories of what God does when things are impossible. And I work in the home office processing candidates who are going into missionary training. Our missionary training center is in Missouri, and so we process applicants to do that, to go into training before they would go overseas to into church planting. So it's been a really, we both enjoyed what we do, and of course I enjoyed being able to be with my parents after living on the other side of the ocean. And as Peggy mentioned, the depriving of their grandchildren. but the one thing I learned with my mom was, as I watched her deteriorate, and as she lost more of her memory and different things, I actually considered it a gift from God. I was able to say goodbye to her a piece at a time. After being gone for so long, and help her and care for her. And as things got more difficult, go into the facility where she was and be able to sing hymns to her. And she couldn't, started out being able to sing with me, but after a while, no more. But I know, just as you were praying about this lady in the induced coma, the Holy Spirit is not inactive. He still speaks to his children. My father has always been very healthy. What did I do? Should I move this down farther? Okay. I won't speak down anymore. My father has always been a very healthy guy, and now as he is physically and such, having a harder time, he's a faithful prayer warrior and keeps praying for a lot of people, and he's got a list, like everything, of people he prays for, including us, our children, and our grandchildren. But the thing that I've seen with him is just a continued steadiness and faithfulness to God's word. To trusting in what God says, to trusting what God has revealed to us, that foundation stands sure. And as I was thinking, well, what kind of things maybe to share? I'm a kind of a fairly simple person. I like things that are kind of simple. We were going through a men's Bible study at Calvary Chapel down in Orlando, and we were going through some studies in Samuel. Came across the story of David and Goliath. And I like kind of simple things like that, and I was thinking, what is it that God wants to say to me about this encounter? And I noticed that, you know, David, as we all know, was facing this giant. And, you know, as we look around the world in which we live now, we've probably seen a few more giants than we maybe saw 20 years ago. We see some huge things going on. I think I'll get my notes out just in case I want to refer to that. Challenges in our lives, sicknesses, storms, turmoil, uncertainty, lack of truth. We see all kinds of things going on around us. And it's very easy for us to get kind of swept up into those things and have those things dominate our thinking that dominate our hearts. You know, I think probably all of us would say, you know, the end times are getting closer. Of course, we know they're getting closer because they're closer than they were the day before, right? But as we look around us, we see some things in place that are very very telling as to the time, part of the timeline that we may happen to be on. Okay. And so I was thinking about this, these things, these giants that come on, and I was thinking about the five stones that David picked up. And I like five; it's a nice handy number for me to remember things with, right? Five. Okay. So, what is it that God's given that we need to be clinging to, or making sure are part of our lives? In 2 Peter 1:12, it says, "Therefore, I will always be ready to remind you of these things, even though you already know them, and have established in, and have been established in the truth which is present with you." You know, Peter was writing this second epistle, and he was writing this to folks who already knew things. You know, we're in Calvary Chapels. We know God's word. We get taught verse by verse. We take it line upon line and precept upon precept. But when the storm comes up, sometimes we're a little bit rocked. I don't know about you, but I get rocked. I get times when I'm getting hit by things, and I start to get so focused on the waves that I forget who's with me in the boat. So reminding me, Peter says, it's good that I remind you of these things, even though you already know them. It's good for me to remind myself of the things that I already know about God and about His tools or stones that He's given us to use. And so I just want to talk a little bit about those five things that popped into my mind as I was thinking about that. And the first one that pops into my mind is the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit who's been given to live within us. And of course, as you know, some of the best, for me, the best, some of the best chapters in the Bible are John chapter 13 through 17, in which Jesus is talking to his disciples about some very, very important things as he's getting ready to go to Calvary. And he keeps talking about keeping eternity in view. He's talking to them about that. And so John, I'm looking at John chapter 14. He starts in verse 1. I'm not going to go through all the verses here, but he starts off by, "Do not let your hearts be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go to prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also." The first thing that struck me was, do not let your heart be troubled. Don't let it be troubled. There's a lot of things that are going on in our lives and around us, and not just made up things. They're big things. But he says, don't let your heart be troubled. And then he gives us the reason. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house, as Pastor Jeremy was even sharing this morning, about our future hope. This sure hope that we have. In my Father's house are many mansions. I go to prepare a place for you. He's gone to prepare a place for each of us. So in light of that, I'm going to skip it now down to verse 16. "I will ask the Father, and he will give you another helper, and that he may be with you forever. This is the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it does not see him or know him. But you know him, because he abides with you and will be in you." This Holy Spirit who's going to guide us into all truth, who's going to remind us of the things that Jesus taught, who's going to remind us of what God has said in His Word. He's in the day and age in which Jesus was talking. He was with them. But in this day and age, He is in us. He's with you and He shall be in you. How many times do I go through my day without the consciousness that the very God of the universe is here? That He's here. He's with me and He's in me. Paul goes on to say, Christ in you, the hope of glory. Jesus here talking to disciples. This is the person who is going to be living within you. This is one of those stones, one of those important pieces. It says, without me, you can do nothing, right? Skipping down now here to verse 25. These things I have spoken to you while abiding with you. But the Helper, the Holy Spirit, whom the Father will send in my name, He will teach you all things and bring to your remembrance what I have said to you. Peace I leave with you. My peace I give unto you. Not as the world gives you, I give it unto you. Do not let your heart be troubled, nor let it be afraid. How many times do I let this that's going on outside there put my heart into turmoil? Who lives there? Who's in my heart? Who's in me? You think he's getting blindsided? Do you think he's not going to be able to handle the situation? Do you think he doesn't have a plan? That's what I'm doing by my reactions to what's going on. He's got a plan. He's got a purpose. And He's working it out. The second stone, the Word of God. You know, we work with Ethnos 360, formerly New Tribes Mission. We have 120 translations going on right now in various parts of the world. But it's just a drop in the bucket. There's probably over 5,000 languages still without the New Testament in the world. Isn't that shocking? Over 5,000 languages without the New Testament. It was many hundreds of years ago that the Bible was translated into English and into German and some of the other major languages. But there's other languages now that still have no word. What would we do without God's Word? We'd be ending up like our brother mentioned, cults. You ever play that game where you whisper something to the person next to you and they whisper it around? How long does it take to get it screwed up? Some people say, well, they're not a literate society, so we'll just teach and they'll tell each other. And it'll stay sure. We know that's not going to happen, right? Yeah, so the Word of God, what would we do without it? What would we do in the situations of life if we don't have truth, something we can hold on to as rock solid? In this day and age, truth has gotten very fuzzy. Everybody seems to have their set of facts about various things. But this doesn't change. And it's applicable to our situations in life. They say the most profound, most applicable, most reliable source of truth that is accessible to us today is God's Word. It's the most applicable, most profound, most reliable, and most accessible. How much time do I actually take to spend time in this? To get God's thoughts. We hear a lot of thoughts going on in the world, don't we? We hear a lot of opinions. We hear a lot of facts. We hear a lot of information. How much time do I spend getting this information? Reminding of myself of the truth of God's Word. Allowing the Holy Spirit to speak to me through God's Word. How many times? I found this to be true, that if I don't spend time in God's Word, my thoughts through the day have a tendency to go in diverse directions. But when I spend time in the morning in God's Word and ask Him to speak to me, there's a tendency through the day to have thoughts pop into my head that that I know come from Him. They may not even be the thing I read that morning, but it's just like starting the day with God and His Word. And for some people, a good cup of coffee or tea or something, and some time alone, and just reading a chapter and asking God, what do you want to say to me out of this chapter? It'll just be one thing. God's Word. Okay, went along. The next stone I came up across that I thought was helpful. No, I gotta go. I still gotta stay on the Word of God one more. Hebrews 4:12. The Word of God is living and powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the dividing asunder of soul and spirit and the joints and marrow, and the discerner of the thoughts and intents of the heart. I got to thinking about this, and I realized there's, you know, maybe some things that people might have a slightly different view of this, but I came to that part where it says that the Word of God divides between soul and spirit. And it says, I got to thinking about our spirit and our soul, and that what's this dividing between? I feel like it's the clarifying. It's clarifying something between our soul and spirit. And the Word says, you know, in Romans 8, it says, the Spirit Himself bears witness with our spirit that we are the children of God. In Ephesians, it says, you know, and you has He made alive who were dead in trespasses and sin. Well, what did He make alive? He made our spirit alive. Our body was already alive. He made our spirit alive. Our spirit was born separate. We were born separated from God, dead in our sin. Our spirit was separated. We were from God. But when we're born again, we've been made alive, and our spirit and God's spirit are communing together, you might say. But what is he talking about here when the Word of God divides between the soul and the spirit? Well, the soul, you know, of course, is our mind, our will, our emotions, our heart, we sometimes refer to it as. Well, what does the Bible say about my natural thoughts? My natural thoughts are not his thoughts, right? What about my desires? My natural desires, are they usually not really. You know, are my emotions? They can be, you know, all over the place. Those things that sometimes guide our decisions, our thoughts, our will, our desires, our emotions. God's Word wants to get in there and clarify what His Spirit is impressing on our spirit, and not be guided by those things that are natural inclinations. It's trying to clarify things. Clarify what's coming from my thoughts as compared to compare what is coming from His thoughts. What my desires are, clarifying that from what His desires are. The only way that happens is when the Word of God can get into us in such a way that it's going to clarify because we live in a confusing world. And it's getting a little bit more confusing all the time. Asking God for His perspective instead of my perspective, my reactions. We'll hit the next ones. The third stone, prayer. Communion with God, talking with Him. This one here has been something that I feel like it's been trying to grow more in prayer. And there's many people who use different little things to help them as they go through guided prayer, you might say, in a way. I found that I was spending a lot of time talking to God about me and my situation or my needs and all of that. And prayer is supposed to be like a two-way conversation. Talking to God and Him talking to us in a way. And so I kind of like the I think I actually got it from my friend in Calvary Chapel down there, the ACTS prayer, A-C-T-S. But I added another S on the end. So mine's these ACTS. Because A stands for adoration. Praising God for who He is, His character. His character in creation, His character in who He is, and His grace, and His mercy, and His justice, and His all of those things. And so that's adoration. And the next part is confession. Confessing to God the things that have gone on in my life and in my mind and in my heart. And you know, there were times when I'd sit down and I couldn't think of anything to confess, and I'm like, you've got to be kidding me. Tim, do you think you're perfect? What in the world? And I'm like, and then God would remind me of something. Or my wife might actually do that sometimes. But yeah, confession, taking time to lay those things before God, sin or things that I neglected or whatever. And the next one, thankfulness, thanking God for what He's done, maybe answers to prayer, maybe things that He's doing in my life or my kids or grandkids or whatever. Thanking God for the things. How His provision, providing for us. So thanking God, the S one, is supplication or requests. Asking for those things. And then the other S, which I added to the end, I just felt like I really wanted to spend some time in solitude and listen to what God said. Just give Him time when I'm in prayer to listen to Him. Ask Him, what do you want to say to me today? My mind went back to that verse in Samuel. Samuel is, God is talking to Samuel in the middle of the night, kept waking him up, and Samuel kept running back to the Eli or the priest and saying, you know, what do you want? And he said, okay, speak, Lord, for thy servant heareth, because he got something to say. Now, I was thinking, if my prayer is all me, and I don't actually give Him any time to respond, to give me something to say, I'm thinking, wow, sure He has things to say. And you know, the things that pop into my head, it might be a person or a situation that I'm dealing with or a verse might pop into my head or something, and it has some bearing on my day or a relationship or something. I'm like, God, you got something to say. I've never been taking time to actually stop and listen to what you have to say. Gee, I had my agenda. Gee. So that's the third one, prayer. Silence and listening at the end. The fourth one I have is community, the body of Christ. We need each other. Hebrews says, you know, don't forsake the assembling of yourselves together as the manner of some is. But something, and even more, as you see the day approaching. As you see the day approaching. Do we kind of see maybe the day approaching? He says, redouble your efforts to get together with the body, to mutually encourage each other. As Proverbs says, as iron sharpens iron, so a friend sharpens the countenance of his friend. As we interact with each other, we encourage each other, and we challenge each other, and as we, that's, the body's going to get stronger. The body only gets stronger through exercise. I found that lately. it's not any fun when the older you get to exercise. that body, as we see the day approaching, we need each other even more. Okay, so that's my fourth one. And the fifth one is this, that growth feeds growth. As we grow individually, it encourages us, as we see God working in our lives and bringing about His character in our lives, it actually encourages us to grow more. And as we see each other growing in the Lord together as a body, it actually encourages us to grow more. Growth feeds growth. If we get ourselves in a downward spiral of not growth, it has kind of the same effect, right? Just right. But growth feeds growth. We have a responsibility to each other as members of the body of Christ to encourage growth in others, just to grow ourselves and in our relationship with the Lord, dig deep with Him, and to encourage others to grow. If you see somebody who's like growing like crazy, don't try to slow them down. So we have these things. We have the Holy Spirit who's given to live within us, the very God of the universe. Do I go through my day with that reality? Or do I go through my day in my own strength? So we got that. We have the Word of God speaking to us. Do we take advantage of having God's Word? Or are we many times like some of the people we know out in the jungle who don't have a Bible? We never spend any time in God's Word because they don't have one. Prayer, spending time talking to God and listening to Him. Community, taking advantage of the other brothers and sisters in the body of Christ to help us. And then growth, feeding growth, being on a trajectory of growth. It's easy to remember. So anyway, just want to share that with you. I feel like that's it's reminding us of things we already know. But sometimes in the fuzziness of the world, we get really cloudy vision of the things that are actually the foundation of our faith. Thank you for this time to be able to share with you guys, and for inviting us to come. Thank you very much.
Really, thank you for coming and bringing that, Peggy. Thanks for some good stuff. So the three of these guys here ministering on that side of the planet for all those years, they've got stories. They're going to be around afterwards. Talk to them, connect with them, find out how you can pray for them. And if you would like them to pray for you, they'll be up here for a little bit to, you know, connect with you, talk with you, pray with you, or, you know, they'll head back towards the information counter at some point too. But talk with them, connect with them, you know, find out information, how you can stay connected and that kind of thing. But man, that's just such important stuff with the basics, isn't it? If we get away from the basics, the foundation, the fundamentals, what do we really have? We're not standing on much. What a great conversation, and what a great, the simplicity even of that whole conversation, those five stones with David and Goliath. You always wonder about that, right? He's like, all right, he's going to bring it. Here comes Goliath. I'm going to bring it right now. And he grabs five smooth stones. Like, why five? You know, is he like, I might miss. He wasn't going to miss. Like, the Lord was not going to. It was David did not have the strength to kind of allow that stone to sink. And like, the Lord put some velocity on that thing. So why the other four stones? Was it Goliath had? Was it he had four brothers or four brothers? So David's like, I'm going to need these four later. And the preparation of those things, Tim, I got to tell you that last one though. Growth feeds growth. That's really rich, and I would encourage you guys, spend time there in 1 Samuel and read the story, because what's fascinating about growth feeding growth is after David kills Goliath, the very giant that everyone else thought was like too much, this is insurmountable, after that victory, everybody else in the camp of the Israelites, they're like, they kind of stood up and they joined the battle. Growth feeds growth. And all five of those stones, all five of those rocks, all five of those reminders, those foundational things require work, time spent. Growth feeds growth. Let's all stand, shall we? May you be blessed as you remind yourself of the strength that is in you by way of Him, the Holy Spirit. May you be blessed as you strengthen and feed yourself with God's Word. May you be blessed as you're strengthened by that two-way conversation of prayer and that great emphasis of solitude, of silence. God, what would you want to say to me today? Would you be blessed and strengthened? And here we are gathering in community for the sake of fellowship, that we would strengthen one another. And then from there, would you be blessed, us as a people, that we'd be blessed as growth feeds growth. It's contagious. It's a good contagious. Faith is a good contagious. So Lord, we thank you so much for these wonderful and really, in this day and age, these are critical reminders. And may we as your people stick to it. Stick to those five basic, simple. It's your plan. These things are part of your simple, basic plan for us as we walk as disciples of Jesus Christ, as we follow you. May we never become either too smart that we don't think we need them, or too discouraged that we don't think we can get back to them. May we simply walk in your Spirit, and Lord, may you bring blessing and increase strength in us, your church. And we ask all of it in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless you guys. Thanks for coming today. Definitely connect with these guys here. Thank you, guys.